Okay. So the pre-clear walks into your office, hitches himself rather hopelessly into a chair, groans faintly, and you say, ah, 3.5. I want to tell you, in the second half of this talk, ways and means of spotting people. Actually, it's too easy. I mean, it's hard to talk about. Somebody starts coming in, comes in and sits down and says, well, I have been sick most of my life. As a matter of fact, I am pretty sick now. They always said I wouldn't be well, and I guess I never have been. You start looking over this person, and you don't have to question them too much to spot them on the scale. Here's hypochondria, glandular disturbances. As a matter of fact, a woman, when you start getting up along the line, if you really sharpen up your powers of observation on this, girl walks into the office, maybe 23, 24. You look at her ankles, not for any aesthetic bang you might get out of it, but because it will tell you something about her endocrine system. You start looking over people, and just look at them at various levels of the tone scale, you'll pick up a tremendous amount of experience. For instance, there's a right back of the ankle. Fat accumulates when the estrogen is down. Even in young girls. A girl walks in, pelvic area, not developed. Bore 2.0. And that's the end of that. Boom. Now, that's a heck of a thing. You look at somebody who is retarded physiologically from glandular reasons, and you have glandular malfunction. The body is trying to kill itself. Definitely physiological 2.0. And as you follow out this case a little bit further, you'll find other traces of this. This case might prove to be, on questioning, a little bit higher than you thought it was, maybe. But sometimes it's a little bit lower than you thought it was, too. But you can spot people pretty well just by looking at them. For instance, there's really no trick in spotting the majority of male 1.5s who are really chronic male 1.5s. You go around and look at them. You'll see them. It's a little bit difficult to describe. You can also follow right up and say what's wrong with them. They got arthritis. Or they've got something else that is a depository illness. They have kidney stones. They have this is, that is, so forth. Depository illnesses. Take a look at them, and after that, it's very simple. If you were a salesman, you would have to develop this to a tremendous degree, because one glance
would tell you,
would have to tell you exactly where this person is on the tone scale. And then you sell them the product accordingly.
There's nothing.
It's like shooting ducks. It's really awful, the ease with which you can get agreement by following out this tone scale. Horrible. I mean, it makes you feel like a thief or something. It's just too rough. But I walk up to him, 1.5. You start talking. You want to sell him the idea of something or other. You talk about it in terms of death and destruction. Just more or less that line and so forth. And first thing you know, this guy's in agreement with you. And you're pals right away. You
talk about a...
Start talking to a 1.1, you take a look at this 1.1, look at the covert angle. There's where you get glandular upsets, bad ones. And if you try to sell this 1.1 on big, broad, constructive projects, I'm going to sit there and look at you.
Huh.
No. You want to say, well, confidentially, Myers Incorporated... you know, they use poison in their beverages, and we don't. The fellows say, yeah. Gossip. A lot of malicious angle. Old wives' tale sort of thing. This person will buy this pretty regularly. And you sell them something, you sell them an idea or something like that, it has to be sold on that band. I know it's all very hopeless anyway, but of course nobody will probably ever buy this from you, but I'd like to leave you a case or two just in case somebody does. You know, somebody watch you operating like this, if you were really trying to sell people something on tone scale levels, if somebody were watching you, he would swear you were trying to depress people's tone and all sorts of things. But actually, they alert and we get very much on the qui vive. I mean, they get more volume of what they are. Because here you are, another theta entity, and you get a cross resonance going, and boy, he can really get to be a 1.1 now. His life force, in other words, exists at his chronic level on the tone scale. And you can get, if you want the most of him to vibrate, and you want the most of him to be there, and you want to talk to the most of him with the greatest amount of attention from him, and the greatest amount of what you would call ARC, only that's pretty hard to figure how you got affinity below this line, but it's an actual fact, you get a sympathetic vibration, you have to talk to the person at his level on the tone scale. So don't ever try to take a 1.1 and sell him the great roseate dream of becoming wonderful and superhuman and growing guilt wings and so on. He won't buy it. You have to sell him the reasons why he has to process. They have to be 1.1 reasons. You could get a lot of smarter. You could trick a lot more people. You could fool them. You could get up with this stuff up to a point where you could really get a guy to cut his throat and he'd never know what did it. And the guy will say, yeah, okay, let's do it. That's horrible truth. You take an apathy case, don't ever try to sell this apathy case, even a half a tone higher than apathy. Apathy is no use anyhow. It's all given up anyway. So, well, there isn't much hope for it, but sometimes pre-clears die when they're being processed, but we might as well try anyhow. And they say, well, go ahead and process me. You know, this is not poetry. You start out practicing with this tone scale just by talking to people, preferably people who are way out of Dianetics. And you run a 2-minute psychometry on them, or 2-minute dynamometry, or whatever you want to call it. Now, a lot of this has to do with voice tone. Voice intonation will carry your message even better than sentiments or words. The mood. But a 2-minute dynamometry, something like that, would merely require that you start up at the top of the tone scale, and with each succeeding remark, come down the tone scale until you get a response. And that is the level. So that you start in talking about this great, big, wonderful, beautiful world, and it's terrific, and so on. And you say, but of course, a few precautions would have to be taken in order to carry this forward. Well, at this point, he says, yes, that's true. A few precautions would have to be taken. You got yourself a 3-0. And you say, well, but actually, there isn't much use in going to all that work, is there? No, he says, you got yourself a 2-5. And, well, there are a lot of people around that wouldn't want you to do this, but, well, he says, there are two. You got yourself a 2-0. You know, a guy that'd do a thing like that, though, ought to be killed. Yep. You got yourself a 1-5. You know, of course, a fellow would have to do this. He'd have to go on it into a sort of slyly. I mean, he wouldn't dare let on really what he was. Yeah, he wouldn't. You got yourself a 1-1. That's kind of hopeless doing anything about it, but you might try. So on. Not that there's any future in it. No, there really isn't any future in life either, is there? You got yourself a 0-5. Now, there's the way you can run the gamut. But you just listen to people as they talk to you and find out what they spontaneously talk about. And there you've got a tone scale level. What they spontaneously talk about and resonate to most rapidly and readily. There you got it. Now, if you, however, happen to be way up the tone scale, 2-5, 3-0, something, and you're laying in a tremendous volume into this fellow, you're liable to bring him up the tone scale to where you are. You're not trying to find out where he is. You're making an acute 2-5 or 3-0 or 3-5 out of him because you make him start to resonate where you are. Now, you see what's happening here. Now, that's actually what a good auditor does, is riding around 2-5, 3-0, something like that. He gets this fellow resonating up where he is. He doesn't want to process a guy down there at 1-1 if he can process him riding at 3-0. If every session this person had the hopefulness, if a little bit moderated by conservatism, that he was really going to get well and so forth, he is not behaving during that session like a 1-1. He's behaving like a 3-0. So, you see, by just talking to them briefly, and believe me, you have to talk to them briefly, because you can talk to a 3-0 on a 1-5 basis for 3 or 4 minutes and put them into a 1-5. In other words, the variable tone can be changed. And what you're interested in is chronic tone when it comes to processing. Chronic tone. There are many ways of looking at this. I'm going to tell you how this splits up. I think that's what you were going to ask. The thing the auditor is interested in primarily is the theta M theta ratio. He's interested in that. In other words, the mechanical aspect of theta and M theta on the case. How much of this case is permanently, quote, permanently, unquote, interpolated, and how much is variable on the tone scale. Now, reading off these columns and asking the proper questions will give you some sort of an approximation of that. You understand that the ratio itself on this chart is conditioned. I mean, it's subject to better understanding and further adjustment. But you're interested in that. You're not interested in the fact that this person occasionally is capable of great constructive actions. Nor are you interested in other variable manifestations. What you're interested in is the M theta manifestation. But you should not make the mistake of believing that you are measuring the reactive mind solely and that this person's behavior is going to be something else because he's got theta to work with, too. You're going to find that the case, just as you look at it and as you test it, as you talk to it and so on, is going to lie along this band on the tone scale. You don't have to know how to subdivide it, in other words, to read this case off. But the point is that the theta M theta ratio, the only theta on a case, it exists preferably way up above 2-0. And it rocks around in the upper band of the tone scale from 2-0 up. It rattles around up there. That's what theta there is. Unless a tremendous volume of restimulation hits the individual, and then all the free theta on the case will resonate at the level of the M theta on the case. And if it resonates there so harshly and so solidly and so long, you've got a case that is spun in. In other words, there's no free theta left on this case to rock around on the tone scale. And then you've got a permanent reactive mind manifestation. And there you have what's really considered to be a psychotic. That is, the psychotic break is when all of the free theta that was able to move around on the tone scale and reason, when all of this free theta suddenly resonates and then stays permanently fixed at the chronic level of the case. Nothing is free about this case. It's static, permanent. Of course, it's up to you then to free enough theta in order to get it back up along the line again.
And what generally traps
these sudden entrapments are generally done by fear or grief secondaries. Sudden, big fear or grief secondaries is what'll spin somebody in ordinarily. They say, he had a shock and he went crazy. You get the idea. It just spins in what free theta there was. But don't think because a person has free theta that can move around in his case that he won't manifest on a chronic level, because he will.
The level of the reactive mind.
The tone level of the reactive mind of the fellow just has one engram, is below 2-0, because there's where the reactive mind cuts in, all the way down from 2-0. There's the band of the reactive mind. The analytical mind is from 2-0 up. Now, there's the analytical band. Your theta is functioning almost always in your analytical level. Almost always. But this sort of a situation can occur. A dramatization can occur, and the free theta is made to resonate temporarily at that dramatization level. See how it could be? A person starts dramatizing 1-5, and temporarily this free theta momentarily interpolates. It is temporary in theta. Now what happens is, the way a life course goes along is that because of an engram, you've got a potential trap for free theta. So your free theta interpolates, and some of it gets trapped in the engram. And it doesn't get free again. So only a percentage, the larger percentage of the free theta gets free. And then there's another key in, and another lock, and a little more. Now it's all interpolated at that point, and then some of it goes free. You see the cycle of locks and secondaries? Here's the engram. It isn't hurting very much. It doesn't have very much free theta in it to begin with. It hasn't interpolated much free theta. It doesn't trap very much, the initial engram. But it goes into a dramatization, and it's sort of like something that has hooks on it. And all of a sudden, wham! The next time this fellow hits that tone level of that engram, a little bit of the free theta that he has gets trapped in it. You have a lock. Happens again, you got another lock. Happens again, you got another lock. And this engram finally gets nice and big and fat and sassy because it's got the preponderance of free theta on the case, or this engram chain, or the reactive mind as a whole. So you see what's happening. The reactive mind then fattens in the absence of processing at the expense of the free theta. And as the reactive mind comes on, there's less energy that plays in the analytical mind. You can look at it that way. Now you can go back to our good old analogy of just analytical and reactive levels of thought. We don't have to worry about theta, mess, or anything else. And it's obvious that the more the reactive mind has poured into it, the more reactive moments there are in a person's life, the fatter the reactive mind gets, and the more the analyzer shuts down. So if the person begins as almost 100% analytical and comes over here with practically no reactive and finally winds up with practically 100% reactive and practically no analytical, in other words, a normal. There is the cycle. Now that's one manifestation then that you get on the tone scale. There's just this, and that is the one the auditor's interested in, is the mechanical aspect of the theta M theta ratio. That's very important to you, because what are you trying to do? You're trying to get the M theta converted back into theta again. That's what processing's all about. That's important to you, and that gives you the manifestation of the individual. The most confirmed opinions of this individual will be along that band. The things which he has cared to absorb are along his chronic level. The things which he can remember best are at his chronic level. What he will call pleasure is at his chronic level. You've got an educational process. You'll occasionally find a case that's been way up for a long time and then really gets punched around for a while. And the guy's case will go way off. I mean, his tone level will go way down and become chronic down here and not escape again. A series of shocks. His education is on a highly constructive level. This guy will still try to function on the educational level where he is, but he hasn't got paid enough to do it. Then he has a heck of a time. The manifestations that he has will change and become this chronic level change. But the data he's got to operate on is 3.0 data. He doesn't have much of this other data, and he has a hard time making an adjustment. You'll see occasionally where this has happened. There are individuals who have been raised in a society and have been given enough locks and pounded around enough, let us say, at 1.1 is all the educational level they've got. And all of a sudden you bring this person up the tone scale and you find the guy's got no data. He's out of the data band. Take any person who's been to a university. Raise him up the tone scale to 1.5. The guy's a fish out of water. He doesn't know what to do. So you have an educational aspect that comes in there. I'll mention that again in a moment. Now, the second manifestation. The first one is just mechanically, the ratio between theta and n-theta. The second way the tone can vary is with the current situation. What's the guy's present time? Let's look over his present time. You'll find the present time has a tone. But by the way, as you ask him across the boards about general reactions to life, you'll find his chronic tone level. You won't find his present time tone level. But if you ask him what he's going to do about this situation in present time, he will give you the tone level response of the present time tone level. If it's a pretty bad present time, the tone level of the present time is down there around 0.5 or something like that, you ask him if he's going to write a letter about it, and he'll say no. Are you going to read your mail? No. Try and get him to talk to you. He won't. Although this person could quite ordinarily be well up the tone scale. But here you have a present time, which is just momentarily hanging at that level. So you can get a present time manifestation of tone. And by the way, even though that present time extends only for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, it has in it all the elements of the whole tone band right across the line. So you take a guy and try to process. You know that this case has been running ordinarily like a 3-0. You've just been having a grand time with this case, and all of a sudden mama died or something or other happened. Boom. And you keep on trying to process him at his chronic level, you're in trouble right away. You see why that would be? Or supposing you've got to process him at the level he's in. This fellow has had a terrific shock. He's grief. Leaking out of his eyes. At 0.5, he obviously is. So you say, well, all we'll do is just run off the grief engram. Nuh-uh. You cannot run a secondary at 0.5 unless it is one of these strange flukes that you occasionally get where a psychotic is actually sitting in the thing and is running it all the time anyhow, and you just run it on out. Once in a while you can do that, but it's dangerous. So all of a sudden this bird's had a terrific shock. He's at 0.5. You know that he's a 3-0. So you try to process him as a 3-0, and you'll hang him up and louse him up and make him worse. What you want to do is hit him at the tone level he's in, not the tone level you knew he was in. This would be tantamount to saying, we know that this child had a very childishly happy childhood and just went along fine to the age of 5, and now he's 45, and he's very sad that he had a happy childhood, so let's process him at the level of his childhood as a 4-0. Oh, yeah, you really lost him up. So your present time situation has something to do with it. As a matter of fact, a lot of people can become acutely psychotic, just momentarily. A fellow who gets angry and busts things up and so forth, even though he does it only for 10 minutes. For those 10 minutes, he's a psycho. You have to handle him as such. Just because the fellow is ordinarily reasonable does not mean that when he is in this 1-5 dramatization that he's reasonable then too. No, he's psycho. Now, 3 is with the tone of specific engrams. Now, that is much more important than it would seem at first glance. We all know that engrams can hang any place on the tone scale. That's easy. Only it contains some data that I'm sure that some of you will be very happy to have. A person has been living in a 3-0 environment and has been passing along very well in this 3-0 environment. not too bright, maybe, but it's been getting by, and you try to have this case respond well and easily, there's something wrong with it, but you can't quite put your finger on it. This person is writing an engram with a 3.0 tone. Well, that's a heck of a thing. The person would have to be a bit out of valence in it, because certainly his tone wasn't 3.0 when he was going through the experience which gave him this engram. But somebody else around him was, or maybe everybody was just too happy and cheerful in the hospital for words, and it gives it this phony tone. Somebody that you run into that tells you every time you ask them, "Oh, I feel fine, I feel wonderful, isn't it a beautiful day, isn't it a beautiful day?" What do you do with people like that? Yet this person obviously is responding to the environment just exactly like they ought to respond, and you know darn well the second you try to go into the case, you're dealing with a psycho. There is a manic. I'm going to tell you right now how to bust a manic. You scan out all the times when they felt good. And you'll wind up sitting in the middle of a manic engram. That's a heck of a note, isn't it? I discovered the other day that auditors ordinarily didn't fall into that one easily because it seems too reasonable. It's too reasonable that this person should feel well. The auditor is too prone to accept his data, too. Much too prone to accept it. The auditor wants this guy to be at 3.0, and this guy is at 3.0, so the auditor says, "That's fine, we won't question it any further. Good, we've got him up the tone scale." And the auditor's dealing with a 0.4. Boy. Now he starts to run this case like a 3.0, and he's really running a 0.4, and the case starts interpolating more and more and more and more, and then one day picks up a gun and shoots the auditor and shoots himself. Boom. Why? The case was obviously that. Boy, don't let these manics fool you. There's plenty of them walking in the society. There's people walking around all the time that are walking around in a manic. And don't think that manic is maniac. It merely, in Dianetics, you know, it just means somebody that is apparently up the tone scale who ain't. Simple definition. All right. Now we've got this sort of a proposition, then, that we can be alert for. The point is that by checking the person thoroughly, you discover this rapidly. And then you'll find, by checking this, what this person is manic about. And don't think that because you break this person's manic that you're going to make this person feel worse. Because you won't. A person who is walking around in one of these I've got to feel good things feels like hell, actually. They feel bad. They feel hectic, strained. The guy who's the life of a party goes to the party. He's the life of the party all the way through. And at the end of the party, he's a rag and he's a nervous wreck and so forth. He hasn't had a good time, but everybody says, "You sure were the life of the party," and key it in again on him. So that somatic content can contain any kind of conduct. Any kind of conduct. Now, I repeat the cure for that again. Just find out what this person is too high on. Let's say this person is pretty much across the boards here at 0.5, but strangely enough, on the subject of sex and children, is 4.0. Well, you say, "Well, tone scale just aired." Now let's see, let's go on and, no sir. You stop right there and take a look at that, because that's one of your first shots. Until you got that one, you won't have this pre-clear unmanned enough to where you can run. Because I is sitting over here in the middle of a circuit, some kind of a manic setup. And you're going to have a hard time with this case. This case is going to be inaccessible to you. So do something about those wild variables. And the way you get one is just scan the guy through all the times when he felt the way you figure that thing. Scan through all the times you felt you loved children. All the times when children were nice. All the times when you enjoyed children. Now let's scan through all the times when you really enjoyed sexual intercourse. Now let's scan through all of those. Over and over and over, and all of a sudden this person goes, boom, and a 10. Of course, they'll do it for other reasons, as I'll tell you tomorrow. But if you're really working on one of those wild variables, boy, that guy will go under that annotation quick. and boil and boil and boil, and you try to get them out of it, and then all of a sudden, whopping big somatics turn on. And sometimes the person sitting over there in present time in the midst of this circuit, and really way off the time track and everything else, but there's a phony track under it, and there's all sorts of perceptic manifestations that are all loused up. Boy, oh boy, these can be really terrific. And you won't get much distance as an auditor if you don't recognize one of those when you see one, because you'll give them too heavy a process. And you'll keep them interbulated, and the next thing you know, why, you won't have any free play or something. And that's awful unfortunate. You get, now the other manifestation that you find on this, then, is with the tone of specific engrams, is the reverse of this. You can have a fellow who is hung up in a low-toned engram, who's got lots of theta, but he's hung up in this low-toned engram, and it'll go into restimulation. And he'll go around feeling like last rose of summer, an awful hangdog, and so on. He'll go into these depressive states, which are quite unlike him. That's just low-toned engram that kicks in.
Now,
and you handle that the same way. You just knock every time that he felt like that, and you'll finally uncover the engram. So it varies with the tone of specific engrams. Now, four is according to phrase manifestations. Well, now we've more or less covered that when I talked to you about manics. You can have a dictated line of conduct by the engrams themselves, and you can put him semantically on the tone scale. Semantically. And having put him on the tone scale with words, you will find, oddly enough, that his actual behavior does not vary an iota from number one up here, mechanically, with a ratio of free theta and theta. He'll talk and act for your benefit at some other level on the tone scale than he really is. But just by going across these columns and finding what his actual behavior is, you will discover what his actual tone level is. In other words, the words don't change it that much. What has seniority here is the mechanical aspect of the free theta and theta ratio. That has seniority over word content. Now, the tone level of education and general environment is number five. You really ought to take these down. These aren't in the book. They will be in the hardcover edition. Now, with the tone level of education and general environment, you get somebody, you'll clear up every engram out of the bank, and this person all his life has lived in a 1-5 family, society, something like that. His education has been along in this band. And you're not going to have a person who is going to easily manifest. He's going to have a tough time trying to adjust himself to his own educational level. What do you do about this fellow? Pull his education up and throw it away. Nothing to that. Most educations are fixed in theta anyhow. They are. You start working a case, one of the quickest things you can do for the case is to start back on the educational line. Pick up the last school he went to, scan it out. Pick up the school he went to before that, college, scan it out. Class by class, knock it all out. Go back to high school, knock it all out. Go back to grammar school, scan it all out. And then you'll find mom and papa. All of this formal education is actually sitting on top of, in lots of cases, and including his early life training and education, which is the most effective because it came first and had priority, and because he was smallest then and he couldn't fight back. He had to do it. So if you want to uncover early childhood, that is, by the way, one of the quickest routes into it I know of. Then he can reevaluate his educational data according to the reasons which he now has and can see in his society. Toward a survival direction. He doesn't have to believe everything the professor's told him. Now, that's important. By the way, there's another trick associated with this that as professional auditors, you can always pick up a quick buck just before examinations. For any student, all you have to do is just scan him through the course he's just had. Scan him through the course a few times and then send him in to take the examination. The data is now live to him. It hasn't been reduced, it's been restimulated. And a lot of the suppressors, the M theta, has come out of the line, and he has less inhibition about writing it down. It's worth doing. All right, there you have those five ways that tone varies on the tone scale. I'll repeat them now. One, mechanically, the ratio between theta and M theta.
That compares also to analytical and reactive. Two, with the current situation, the present time tone. Three, with a tone of specific engrams. Four, according to phrase manifestations. And five, tone level of education and general environment. There is another one, which has less serious effect than some of the others. Some person who has been restricted physiologically or glandularly from certain types of activity will have been forced to assume a certain level on the tone scale for certain subjects, which will have influenced his conduct at other points of life. Now, this is something that an auditor can square up and should square up rather readily and rapidly. After you've straightened out something like this or it's been straightened out, for heaven's sakes, go back over the stuff again and lock scan the data on it. Lock scan a lot of the data on it, otherwise the person's liable to keep operating with certain inhibitions which they really don't need to observe now. You take a chronic psychosomatic illness. Some fellow who's had sinus trouble, he's busily trained into himself the mechanisms where he shouldn't sit in the draft. So he'll go around being careful not to sit in the draft. Well, birth has been erased God knows when. Doesn't need it anymore. And you'll find out that if you just say, scan all through all the training patterns resulting from your nose condition or something of the sort, that you'll clear up and give him a lot of more flexibility in life. Until you do that, the environment has closed him in a little tighter than it should. What we're talking about now mainly is dressing off of a case or straightening a case up after you've run quite a few engrams off of it. That's important. I want to show you the way that you can graph the shapes of cases. I told you we had a changed viewpoint on processing. What we're trying to do is convert N theta to theta. Or get more theta on the case. Or less N theta on the case. That's what we're trying to do. That's different than running engrams. There are several manifestations of N theta. The first manifestation of N theta is, of course, the engram. Dynamic 6 comes into collision with dynamic 7. Crunch. You got an engram. Theta impinges too hard against mast. That's number one. The next is the key-in and lock chain, all being more or less the same breed of N theta. And the next is the secondary, which is actually 6 and 7 coming apart with a shock. Loss. Now, those are the three general types of N theta. The engram, the lock, the secondary. There's one way of running these. That is really basic. And that doesn't change an iota from the optimum way to run it as known, well, August, July, last year, no change. File clerk gives the engram necessary to resolve the case, first phrase will flash, wham, bam, you know, whatever pattern you finally develop that you find highly efficacious. But it's development on running engrams. But in another development forward of that is change scanning of engrams. As far as activity is concerned, chain scanning of engrams has been found most beneficial and not dangerous way up the tone scale, about 3-5, and boy, it's really something to finish off a case with. But be sure you're finishing off the case when you do it. The people who developed the chain scanning of engrams centered the fact that action phrases did not need to be effective on the case. It's the theta N theta ratio, actually, which establishes the effectiveness, but the auditor can actually educate or persuade out to some slight degree his preclear from obeying action phrases. But if his preclear is pretty badly down the tone scale, he hasn't got any say about it. Just take around 3-5, finishing up a case. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You can really do tricks with chain scanning of engrams. But below that level, let's run them individually and be on the safe side. All right. Engrams, as you know, exist in chains. You get the first anaten off of a case. You get the basic engram off of a case. It's worth fighting for because it loosens up all the anaten on the case. Of course, every time any anaten is restimulated in any engram, it is so more or less restimulated in every other engram. And if you can pull the bottom, the common denominator to all engrams, basic, then you're really off for the races. You're actually justified in trying to reach basic on low-tone cases, if you can get it. But boy, don't turbulate this case very much and make sure that you don't hand this along as a technique to a book auditor. Savvy. It's very fine to get basic off of the case, because then you loosen up all the engram on it and you can get good anaten. You take out a half a dozen engrams in the basic area. If you can get them to erase or anaten to come off of them, you're doing well. Ordinarily, your low-tone cases will only reduce. And if you, as professional auditors, go on running engrams to reduction on some case, you ought to be shot anyhow. There's only one reason why engrams keep on just running to reduction. And that's because there's too many secondaries. About the third engram, you start running on a case just to reduction. You get the hell out of the prenatal area. And you find that secondary that's ready to pull because there's a secondary on the case. Fear or grief or even an apathy secondary that's ready to pull. I can't say that strongly enough to you. It was an error I didn't know was being made. It's in the first book. But the error is being made quite generally. That auditors are running engrams in the prenatal area to reduction only. Sure, you can improve a case by running engrams to reduction. But how many years do you want to work on this case? You got to go all over those things again, you know. So that's no good. The second they start to run to reduction, you've got too many secondaries on this thing. And it isn't, those secondaries are not ready to pull either. They are ready to pull. That's what establishes it. As soon as you run some secondaries on this thing, try it out. You'll find out you can go down to the basic area and get some erasures. Or you'll find a whole new brand of engrams down there waiting for you to run. If you ever start a case erasing and get it up to a point where it's getting a little bit sticky on these erasures, the first three or four, yes, you can understand how the first 3, 4, 5 engrams in the basic area of the case will have a tendency to be slow. But after that, by golly, those things ought to start erasing with a couple of passes. If there's no secondaries to interrupt you. But if you have 5, 6, 7 passes and the thing goes down to reduction, boy, stop that erasure right then and go on up here on the time track and find that secondary and bleed it off. And then come back and fool around down here. Don't make that error. Hell, I feel like I'm teaching kindergarten with that one. Now, this next kind of a N theta is the lock. Actually, this possibly has a different physiological aspect. It's probably the trapping of it is a little bit different than the trapping of the secondary. But the similarity would be of leaving a little bit of rubber on the highway as you stamp on your brakes and leaving half of your car in a roads department repair ditch. I mean, that's about the similarity between the two. Locks, however, existing in tremendous numbers on a case, can, as an overall aggregate, trap an enormous amount of theta and make M theta out of it. But if they're just locks, they're sort of married into these engrams and they're all more or less part of a chain, so on. Get them apart. You start running a lot of engrams on a case without ever scanning off any locks, by the way, while your case will get top-heavy after a while. There's such a trick as unburdening. You run an engram, and then you run all the locks that were on the engram. Then go back to the engram again. You'll find a couple more perceptics waiting for you. You can keep this up ad infinitum. Now, here's your... There are your lock chains. Of course, these things exist laterally. The next type is your secondary. If you want a case to get well in an awful hurry, well, of course, you pull a secondary. But if you start to pull a secondary, for God's sakes, pull it all. Don't leave any of it around all mixed up, because you'll put a lot more N-theta on the time track up later by only running it out halfway, so you better run out all of it. However, you will get into this sort of a situation that you can lock scan the case that's pretty low on the tone scale, and all of a sudden you'll hang up and on one phrase, without knowing where it's from or anything else, start to cry. One phrase. He doesn't know where it's from or anything. He gets some tears off on this thing and come on up the chain, and he seems to feel a lot better. That's using lock scanning down too far on the tone scale, but can produce some results. Oh, it's cured somebody from having a bad hip and somebody else from having something or other. But the reality level of the operation is very poor. It's very bad. So you shouldn't have a lot to do with it. Secondaries, if you can contact them with some reality on them, you ought to just contact them and run them. Run them all the way up. Keep the guy going through it. Don't be super sympathetic or with lots of advice, because when a guy runs into a secondary, your pre-tear runs into a secondary, he's in an hypnotic trance, to all intents and purposes. Just as in a boil-on, he's in an hypnotic trance, to all intents and purposes. And what you say can go in as positive suggestion. But God Almighty, don't avoid secondaries because you've got one to run yourself. Don't do that. And don't ever go off and leave one partly run. Sometimes you may make a mistake and get the fellow spotted wrong on the tone scale and try to run out a secondary that he won't be able to get all the way off. That is a very bad error, because you leave the fellow parked on the time track at that point. By golly, he can stay there for months. Pretty hard to undo an auditing blunder of that magnitude on that low on the tone scale. Shouldn't run a secondary, in other words, unless you're pretty sure this person can run a secondary. Take locks. Get your N-theta off of it and locks. Well, there are your three manifestations of N-theta permanently fixed in the bank. He's permanently fixed in the bank, permanent except for dianetic processing and occasional bleeding of affect, as is occasionally accidentally done in psychoanalysis when the psychoanalyst isn't looking. There's really what you would call, then, temporary N-theta, too, which would be the N-theta of present time. Confusion, which doesn't nail down. Most of it doesn't park on the track. You generally just don't get any real manifestation on just present time confusion, unless the thing goes in as a lock. But you can create a present time, a temporary N theta for the preclear. And then you start trying to work through this fog of temporary N. In other words, getting confused. Say, well, let's go back to basic. Oh, just a minute. Who died in your family? As a matter of fact, you get a fellow who's liable to go down into apathy, low on the tone scale, and you can spin him in just by doing that. Just change your mind. Now, don't think that ARC breaks form a special kind of N-theta, because they don't. All the N-theta there is ARC break. I mean, it's ARC, that's theta, the three manifestations of it and so forth. But if you really want to go in on a case high ball with straight wire, start pointing up only enforced and inhibited ARC. Boy, you can do a fast job on straightening up a lot of things for this person. In other words, we're pinpointing the target. But ARC doesn't form a special kind of N-theta. All N-theta is ARC N-theta. The real break of affinity between theta and a mist is crunch. A break of communication or an enforcement of communication of theta and mist is crunch. It's disagreement. They don't want to both be there in that state. So there goes your reality, crunch. Now on a secondary, you pull them apart when they ought to be together, and you get a similar manifestation. But that's inhibited. So that you could say an engram is enforced, ARC. And a secondary is inhibited, ARC. A fear engram is fear of loss. A fear that seven is going to part from six. A grief engram is recognition that seven and six have come to part. And of course, a lock is, it's liable to happen again. Secondaries have their own breed of locks, and engrams have their own breed of locks. The secondary type of lock says it's liable to happen. I'm liable to lose it again. And the engram says it's liable to go crunch again. The physical universe and the theta universe, in other words, have a certain harmonic intermingling with each other at about 4.0, and below there on the tone scale, neither one of them like it. All right, that's what you're tackling. That's your target. And cases. I'm going to draw you a picture of cases. Here is a case way down at the bottom of the tone scale. This is the time track. Here's conception. Here's present time. This is your case. That's your time track. That's the individual. There he is. That's M theta. That's low on the tone scale. And also practically missing on time track. This is for your occluded case. All right. Here's the second kind of case. What you've got here is an occasional time track showing up. See? Not solid in. This case is up the tone scale a couple of points. Here's your next kind of case. This is the kind of case which you most ordinarily handle. This is the one that says, what present time? And this is the one that says, I'm sure my father beat me. I know he did. He many times. I'm just sure of it. And then you find out his father died when he was born. And here's your next kind of a case. Engrams, secondary, engram. A lot of locks scattered in here. Now your job is to make case number one into case number four when you find a case number one, or case number two into four, or case number three into case number four before you start processing engrams and secondaries as such. Got that clear? Number four has a time track. I'm just showing you what you're tackling on. You've got a time track on four, very definitely. These incidents are separate.
And the command phrases on number four are not such that it'll collapse the whole case just because you hit one phrase, a grouper, something like that. Also, over on number four, you don't hit a holder and re-stimulate it. Tell the guy to come to present time and he can't. That's case three or two. This fellow wouldn't know present time if you showed it to him. You got the idea. Now, I'm showing you the look of cases. Now, you're going to find some low-level cases way down at the bottom of the tone scale, and these cases are just in a... They got a time track, and they can run this, and they cry, and they tell you they got some pain once in a while and everything, and they're this case. They're apparently a wide-open case, but boy, the stuff that's really obliterated on that time track shouldn't happen to anybody. They'll run dub, they'll run anything. Fortunately for you, their somatics are very seldom heady unless they've got some phrase in the vicinity of the engram which enforces the somatic. And then it'll be very heady and it'll be all over the track. What you're tackling is M theta. And what you want to do is convert. You take a case that's like this. You take enough M theta off of that case till you got this case. Then you take enough off of this one to get this case. And then you take enough off of this one to get that case. You get the idea. That's the way you go up the line on these things. Clean up the case, occlusions. Bring them up the tone scale. You start cleaning M theta up on this case, and you'll find this case will go up the tone scale. You try to run engrams out of that case, and it'll stay static or go down on the tone scale. You try to run engrams and secondaries even out of this case, and it'll have a tendency to do so, but occasionally you can hit a secondary once in a while if it presents itself. Here you definitely can hit a secondary once in a while. Over there where you've got engrams that you can run, secondaries you can run, so forth, you can do most everything you want in this case. All the data of how that comes about is right here. This is your 0-5, your chronic 0-5. This is your 1-1, there's about your 2-0, and there's about 2-5, something like that. About what you do. It tells you over the columns what to do. That's your new target. Does anybody see any better what he's trying to do in Dianetics? If you hold with this and practice along these lines of picking up the M theta, wherever it may be found or however you may get it, and there's other ways of picking up N theta, by the way, than hitting N theta, so I'll tell you about tomorrow. You're trying to clean up a lifetime here a little bit, trying to reduce the activity of action phrases. You're trying to make the case, put the case in shape, but don't think that you're not doing standard procedure, because you are. Standard procedure is not running engrams and secondaries by snapping the fingers. Standard procedure is any process which fits into the tone scale and is provably useful in increasing the position of the preclear on the tone scale. You keep breaking down sections of N theta until you get them down to where they belong. You see, here's what happens to an individual. He's got an engram. This engram, well, I should draw it like this, very lightly, light line. Here's an engram. He goes along, the thing keys in. Now, it's all very well to draw this key in as another line on the track. Actually, what happens is, because it's filed in the reactive bind, is you've got that with the engram. You've got the next one with the engram. And you've got locks, 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 secondary, locks, 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 locks. And pretty soon you've got this big fat thing, and the guy can't get to any perceptics or anything else. Why? Because the repulsive effect of M theta on theta. Theta tries to attack M theta, it can't get into it. It just interbulates in its vicinity. You try to attack this darn engram, and it's just a fat blob of sausage. You can't get into anywhere on its perceptics. There's no reality on it. Why isn't there any reality on it? Because that low on the tone scale, M theta doesn't have any reality. Of course, this big blob of a case with all this tremendous amount of N theta on it doesn't have a sense of reality. He doesn't get reality on very many things. Of course, he doesn't have good recalls. And of course, he disagrees with you and with himself and with his case continually. So you've got ARC is low. Saying a case is low on reality says that it's high on N theta. psychotherapies for a long time in recognizing this. They said, what you got to do is make them face reality. That was a good idea. But what we've got to do is pick up enough curtains so the fella can get some faint conception of what reality is. Now, do you have a great deal of experience in running pre-clears? This subject doesn't have to be beaten over the head continually or very long. You shift your viewpoint, all of a sudden, you remember a case that you tried to run. And boy, this case was really a tough one. The case was just wouldn't move. Couldn't get anything on the case, couldn't run an engram, so he didn't believe in Dynex. And although he came to you originally, you worked him for a little while and then he went away. You didn't do anything for this case. You thought, well, I really failed that time. You didn't fail, really. What you were doing was trying to attack more N theta than you had theta available to do the attacking. There are techniques now which will clean this case up to a point where you have a much better chance of doing something for this case. You can take just ARC straight wire. If a fellow comes into you long enough and you talk to him long enough just on ARC straight wire, you're going to bring him up along the line. You can't help it. If you were really running ARC straight wire on him, I've seen an auditor to try and take an occluded case, and they don't run ARC straight wire. They run straight wire that has nothing to do with really straight wire. They want to remember this and remember that. But sometimes a case is so bad off that you can't direct the straight wire. You're lucky if he can remember anything with any degree of reality. But if you can direct his recalls on good ARC straight wire, you can start bringing this fellow up the line quite rapidly. And the next thing you know, you'll be lock scanning him and picking up N theta on very light areas. And the next thing you know, why, you'll have him high enough up the tone scale, a lot of occlusion out of his line, and so on. You'd hold him down on the tone scale if you start to go in and slug and then act peeved or puzzled as to why his case didn't resolve overnight. It took this fellow maybe 40 years to get a case as loused up as he is. Well, you're not gonna undo the case in 2 hours. You may turn off a chronic somatic or something by a fluke. That's not very possible. You hit these cases with this attitude, then you might have a much higher level of success. Inaccessibility. And of course, if you can't even run ARC straight wire on the thing, you've got to do mimicry. That's great stuff, that is. He smokes a cigarette, you smoke a cigarette. Mimicry, trying to get him in present time. Additionally, in this book, we have a process known as present time. We had a tendency to overlook the fact that all the time track is the composite and consecutive moments of present time and the recorded perceptions of that and conclusions that were along that line. This present time is going to be tomorrow, yesterday's time track. It's quite important to know that and to get the concept of present time processing. There is present time processing. If you can put some theta on some pre-clear's time track, or get him to put more theta on it, in a few weeks, you'll be able to use it. You'll be able to use his time track. You get the idea. You'll actually be able to use his time track. And the pre-clear that's really gruesomely loused up is the pre-clear who doesn't have very much theta present time in his whole life. Of course, this works both ways. The more loused up this case is, the less chance you have of having theta moments back on the time track, and the more you need them. The more you need them. So you could actually go out in a field of processing, of just processing the present time environment, trying to straighten it up for the pre-clear a little bit so that it isn't quite as N theta or is a little bit better order than it was in, and then finding out what he'd like to do and encouraging him to build up moments of present time consecutively on his time track. That's processing, oddly enough. That isn't something that you would sort of apologetically say, well, we'll fix it up and then we'll process him. No, sir, you're processing him right there. That's all valid. A valid process is anything which brings the individual up the tone scale. I don't care whether it's temporarily or permanently. But you start bringing him temporarily up the tone scale, and that amount of theta will start to compound itself, and the next thing you know, you've got enough to keep bumping him up the tone scale. You know, these fellows that go fishing, hunting, a couple of weeks, they come back, and for some peculiar reason, their health has picked up. Well, we say, well, it's because he was out of an understimulated environment. Yeah, that's one of them. The more important one of them is, shucks, he picked up 2 weeks' worth of theta on the time track. And of course it banged into and knocked out N theta, because there's a natural cycle going between theta and N theta. But I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. I've been very patient this afternoon. Thank you very much.